So I have the privilege of reading two Bible passages this morning. The first one is in Ecclesiastes, right kind of in the middle of the Bible, found on page 1037. As you would have found out later, my mom is in the hospital being monitored, and I was visiting her this morning, and I said, I have to read the Bible passages today in the service, so I read them for her. And then she said, I guess it's time for me to be in the hospital. So that's the context of these passages. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 to 8. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heaven. Sorry. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Wow. Thanks for enduring that with me. Anyhow, the second passage is Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46. The sheep and the goats. Basically, what are we doing with our time? When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick and in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
God's work does speak powerfully. Father, we're here this morning. We're here to worship you. We're here to be with each other and with you. And Lord, we're here to be shaped by you. And I pray that these words which have just been spoken, that all the praise and prayers and worship that we've done, may they sink deep inside of us. May they shape our hearts and souls and minds so that we become more and more who you've created us to be. And I pray that the words which will be spoken now, may they be your words and not mine. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. These are powerful passages. They speak to the reality of our lives, of our day-to-day lives. And there are parts which bring tears to our eyes and an ache to our hearts. And then there's parts that make us get up and dance. They make us celebrate. And that's why both these passages this morning have different meaning for me, but they're among my favorite passages in Scripture. And Scripture is about wisdom. It's about knowing God better, but it's also about knowing how to live well. And even for those who don't accept God, who don't know God, who don't want anything to do with God, many of them still recognize the Bible as wisdom literature. I want you to watch a video, and I want you to just reflect on the bird's tune, turn, 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 and then recognize where the words come from. We often say there's secular music and that there's Christian music. But there are groups like the Byrds, and there are groups like U2 and Bono with his conflicted relationship with God and with Christianity. But they all turn to Scripture because they know the power and the wisdom that lies in these words. And the Byrds, when you read the history of this song, a number of them were going through different periods in their lives, periods that were powerfully hard and sorrowful. And one of them was in the midst of a new relationship where it was all sunshine and stars. And they realized that they were walking together. And one of them said, "I remember something that says there is a time for celebration, and there is a time as well for heartache and hardness." And they turn to the Scripture. Ecclesiastes is mainly known for telling us that everything is meaningless. And when you think about it, even time can be completely meaningless. Time only gets its value. It only finds a preciousness in how we use it, in how it is being used, how we fill it. I love how Terry said, you know, have you ever felt like time gets away from you or stands still? When I was looking up this reference, because I'm not the greatest in terms of music bands. I knew the song, but I could not remember who played it. So I go online, I type in Ecclesiastes 3 music, and then I kind of find it. But then I find out, oh yeah, there's Simon and Garfunkel. I haven't heard them for a while. And, oh yeah, you know what? I really like this band and that band. And before I knew it, an hour had passed. Yeah. I hear laughter of people saying, yeah, I've been there, I've done that. But it's amazing how time does get away from it. And rabbit trails and just a sense of, wow, where did it go? And just like you need a healthy diet to remain healthy physically, we need a healthy sense of time to be healthy spiritually and emotionally as well, to become who God's created us to be. There's just so much time. We all have the same amount of time, 24 hours each day. So how we spend our time is important. Find it interesting that the way I feel about how my day has gone really depends on how I value the time that I spent during that day. I remember once going to the home of a lady who was stuck in bed. And she was dying, but she had a long way to go. But she couldn't clean her house, and her house was slowly becoming cluttered and dirty and everything else. And Janice was so embarrassed, and she wouldn't ask for help. And Romia, a lady in the church, called me up and said, we need to go there and clean her house. So the next day, Romia and I spent about 6 hours scrubbing floors and rubbing stains out of carpets and doing dishes and scraping food that had kind of grown onto plates that were on the counter and just doing cleaning. And I remember going back to the church later that afternoon and really wondering if I had spent a valuable time. As a pastor, shouldn't I be in the study reading deep theology books or having coffee with a university student or high school student that has questions about God? Like, really, what did I accomplish by scrubbing floors and dishes and throwing out garbage? And it was only until a couple weeks later when one of Romy's daughters at youth group said, Mom can't stop talking about the fact that you actually were down on your hands and knees scrubbing floors. She had never seen a pastor do that before. And then I realized that that was precious time. But at the time, I didn't recognize it. And we often have that when we look back over our days, we wonder, was our time really well spent? And sometimes we don't know until maybe days or weeks or months or years later when somebody will refer back to that time. Maybe you touch someone by just listening, giving them a hug, putting an arm on their shoulder. Maybe you made an impression by standing up for something and saying something because something bugged you so bad and you got so angry and you said, this just isn't right. And somebody said, wow, you know what? You took the time to notice and to say something. And I should have backed you at that time, but I didn't. But that time where you may have been frustrated because you lost your temper may have been a time that God uses to impact somebody else, time? How do we use it? How do we use it well? Paraphrasing Pastor Laura Copley, Ecclesiastes is wisdom literature that recognizes the reality and rightness of different times. We challenge the assumption that we ought to be happy all the time, realizing that if we've lost someone to divorce or Alzheimer's or a miscarriage, you know what? It's right to weep. Recognize there's a time to scatter stones, breaking down physical and relationship walls that keep us from healthy relationships. A time to hate the wrong and evil that's in our world and destroys so much. Often what's so hard in life is that we don't know which times are which. I got a text from my brother saying, if you want to see Dad and he might know you, you should probably come because he has Alzheimer's. And I texted back, I said, we said our goodbyes last summer because we were there for a week, visited him four times. He recognized me once. I says, I realized then that it was a time to say goodbye, even though he's physically living. Say you have a relative who doesn't know Jesus. When is it time to speak or the time to be silent? Or a friend who really betrayed you? Is it a time to walk away? Or is it time to heal it? Wisdom encourages us to recognize the importance of balance and the discernment of different times and seasons. Teacher in Ecclesiastes reminds us that there are different times, a variety of times, a time for our families. We have to raise our kids to know the Lord. We have to spend time with our spouses and our parents, our loved ones. There's a time to take care of our needs. We need a roof over our head. We need food in our bellies. There's a time to work hard, but there's also a time to play and rest. Yesterday was a time of play and rest, as you can see by the sun. But it was a time to get to know some of the youth, and to get to know them a little better, a little different. A time to love our families and ourselves. A time to love our neighbors and our communities. It's always time to love God and follow his leading. And that's where Matthew 25 comes in. Jesus reminds us that we have to remember that our time is also his time. And that when we use our time to help and serve others, we're actually using our time to serve and love him. I love how Reverend Peter Marty puts it. He says, our incognito Lord, our Lord who we don't recognize, takes up residence in people who don't seem to count. We ought to forget all fascination with some moral virtue in the sheep and some grievous fault in the goats. The king in our story never says a word about anyone compiling an impressive moral record. The only difference between the sheep and the goats appears to be the willingness of the former to look other people in the eye and meet them in their circumstance. See, faith is more than feeding or caring for others. It's believing that these other ones actually have a place in our heart. I used to read that parable of Jesus always in terms of, I gotta be a sheep. I gotta get saved. But actually, it's a parable about our hearts. It's about our eyes. It's about recognizing the slow down and notice the people around me. That when there's a need, it's not an accident that I'm there right at that moment. And I can't do everything. That's why God says, I make this church. Jesus calls us to follow him. Because he went back to heaven. And he says, I'm leaving you here so that you can be in all these different times, in all these different places, my presence. See, Jesus enters our time to show us God's love and call on our lives and hearts and time, not just with words, but especially with his presence. Through an outward-focused, other-focused life. And what strikes me about Jesus is how he always took time for other people. It didn't matter whether you were this really smart religious leader like Nicodemus, who's so afraid to be seen with Jesus, he kind of sneaks there in the dark of the night so that, you know, all his buddies in the Sanhedrin and in the temple don't see him and don't know that he's meeting with this radical Jesus guy. And Jesus takes time and talks to him and reaches out to his heart and says, come on, you know, you got to be born again. And you should know what that means. You're one of the smart ones in the temple. Or Jairus, you know, here's this really important guy, and his daughter is sick and dying, and he comes to Jesus and says, come on, you gotta heal her. And he's on his way, and this woman who's been bleeding for all these years and who's unclean and unacceptable, and she says, I gotta take a chance and touch him and maybe I'll get healed. And Jesus feels the power leave him, and he doesn't just keep on going because, oh man, he's gotta make sure he gets to Jairus' daughter in time. He stops. And he recognizes the woman. And he speaks peace and comfort and healing into her heart. And then he shows, by continuing on to Jairus' daughter, even though he's told that she's dead, and he takes time to raise her back to life again, to remind the people of who he is. And then there's that lady caught in adultery. That should have been a no-brainer. You know what? She's doing something so wrong. Bible says, stone her, get rid of her. And he just kneels down on the ground, probably right beside her because she was thrown to the ground. And he just starts writing in the dirt. No clue what he writes. But he takes the time to get down in the dirt beside her. And then, when nobody's there to accuse her, he says, I don't accuse you either. But he says, go and sin no more. You know, use your time better. Use your life better. Jesus enters into our time with us to show us what it looks like, to save us from our selfish use of time that focuses so often on me rather than Jesus and others. Jesus spends his time with us to show us the Father, to model what a God-focused life looks like, to take the time to take our sin to the cross, to take the time to die for our sins, to take our punishment on himself so that we can find healing and hope, so that the brokenness that sin brings into our life, we can have lives that are rebuilt. We can find strength and we can find hope again. And then out of gratitude, Jesus calls us to recognize the needs in the world around us. And not just the physical needs, but the needs of our souls and our hearts and our emotions. That's why Jesus says you got to get out there and you got to make disciples of others. You know what? There is nothing more important than leading others to become followers of me so that they can know a Father who enters into time because his time with us is so important to him. And this is not something new. Because Jesus is just going back to the Old Testament and reminding the people there that, you know what, our time with each other is really important. Proverbs 19, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord and he'll reward them for what they've done. Isaiah 58, is this not the kind of fasting I've chosen, to loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked, to clothe him and not turn away from your own flesh and blood? And then Paul's encouragement in Romans, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he'll give eternal life. But to do these things means spending time with each other. It means recognizing what's going on in each other's lives, what's going on in the lives of the people in our community. And then saying, yeah, you know what, I've got to work hard, I've got to be with family, I've got to do all these other things, but I also have to take the time to be with people. I have to take the time to let the Spirit lead me to opportunities to show love and compassion, to engage in times of encouragement and building up. Just be Jesus' presence right here where he's placed us. It's about being open to the Holy Spirit. And at the beginning of a new church season, you know, it's important to stop a moment before we allow ourselves to get too busy and to just take stock of how we spend our time, to reflect on how much of the time we've been given, to see how much we're using for ourselves, and don't feel guilty about it, because you have to do that stuff. Take care of your families and work hard. But are you also taking time to get to know God better? Are you spending time with Jesus? How much time are you focusing on being a blessing and using the gifts that you've been given to serve the church and our community? See, time is both meaningless and precious. It all depends on how it's filled. There's a time to work. There's a time to study. There's a time to rest. A time for yourself. And a time to serve others. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And the call is to use the wisdom the Holy Spirit gives us to wisely figure out how to use the time that God gives us. Amen. Father, at the beginning of a church year, before our time becomes too full and crazy and insane, we listen to your words that there's a time for everything. We also see how we spend our time. That it's important to be able to see your son and the people around us. And that there's time to serve him through serving others. But Lord, we can go so crazy overboard one way or another. Give us wisdom to live life well so that we grow stronger and closer in our faith to you and to your son, but also that we grow closer in our bonds and our relationships with each other and the community you've placed us in. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.